I will extol thee, O God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raise up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of the Lord wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, and also will hear the cry and will save them. The Lord preserve all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name on today, and we give your name the glory. Lord God, you are worthy of all the praise, and you're worthy of all the glory. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for another time, chance, and opportunity to lift up your holy name. And Lord God, as we come before you, Lord God, look upon each and every soul, Lord God, that's in your presence. And I pray, Lord God, that you would read the tables of their heart. And Lord God, bless them according to what they have need of. And Lord God, strengthen, encourage, Lord God, the hearts and minds of your people, that we might be able to stand in this evil day. Lord God, we just love you, Lord God. And we're just so very grateful and thankful, Lord God, for another opportunity, Lord God, just to come before your throne. And Lord God, we say, just have your way. Speak to our hearts and minds. Move how you want to move. Do what you want to do. Say what you would like to say. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you receive the glory, the honor and praise that you so rightfully deserve. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory for all of the great things, amen, that he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. And as the scripture said, let everything that had breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. We do honor and we bless the name of the Lord on today. Glory to God. There's nobody like him. And I'm just so grateful, amen, to be in the land of the living. And I often say it's better to be in the land of the living than in the congregation of the dead. And you're here today because Jesus made a way. Amen. And because he made a way, amen, you have a right, amen, to praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. At that, we're going to move on into the Word of God. And today we will be found in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and also 13c. Again, that's the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and also 13c. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy persons, saith the Lord of hosts? And ye bring that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And today we're going to speak from the subject, renew your passion. Amen. Renew your passion. Malachi was the last of the prophets to the restored remnant after the 70-year captivity. He was sent to address the remnant a few generations after the temple had been rebuilt. We understand that prophets served in different capacities, and the messages that they were sent to convey were always relevant to the times. Like Haggai and Zechariah, he was a post-exilic prophet. But Haggai and Zechariah were sent to reprove the people for delaying to build the temple, while Malachi was sent to reprove them for the neglect of the temple when it was built. He also addressed a very serious issue, which was the defilement of temple services. The priests were not enforcing the regulations for sacrificial offerings, and the people were offering polluted sacrifices to the Lord. According to the law, anything offered as a sacrifice was to be clean and without blemish. There was gross misconduct in the priesthood, and because they were ungodly and did not honor God, the people were not taught the true instructions in God's law. And just to take a pause right here, sometimes people do not consider the damage that ill-educated people pose on society. Sometimes people were not taught or trained properly. Some were ingrained with erroneous teachings that shaped their moral principles and behavior. The fault lies with those who failed to teach them the right way. And to that point, we cannot always cast aspersions on the seemingly out of control younger generation without knowing the root of the problem. As one who has spent many years as a street preacher and ministering in homeless shelters, I have learned that sometimes young people rebel because of the lack of love or care that they did not receive from the ones who are responsible for bringing them into the world. There are children who are grossly neglected by their parents, who choose the way of the streets to compensate for what they're not getting at home, and then they form a bond with those in similar circumstances. The most disturbing group of people that I have encountered are the ones that have taken some wrong turns in life and suffered the consequences of doing so, but instead of warning their offsprings of the hidden dangers that lies ahead, or instead of being the voice of soundness, they become enablers of destructive behavior. It is no different than leading their children to a brick wall and then stand back and watch them run into it. I have seen mothers that know the outcome of living a life of promiscuity, but will not teach their daughters the importance of respecting themselves. We have all gone through some things in life, but whether good or bad, we can use our life experiences as a resource to help steer others in the right direction. We have seen generations destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. The children were not taught by the parents. The parents were not taught by the grandparents. So it becomes a vicious cycle of falling into the same kind of snares. It is challenging having to deal with people who are without wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but cycles can be broken. If a concerted effort is made by the parents, teachers, and clergy to reach these misguided souls, we can all be instrumental in helping a generation of illogical thinkers who are perhaps victims of circumstance to overcome the stigma that has followed them all of their lives. It's going to take a village to reach this younger generation, and ministers of the gospel must be apt to teach, because if they do not know the word of God, how can they know the will of God? Amen. In our lesson text, the prophet was commissioned by God to go to the priest and call them out for their negligence. The Lord held them accountable for the lack of reverence and the lack of interest that the people had towards the holy things of God. It was pointed out in a popular survey of the Old Testament written by a man named Norman Gleisler, that the prophet Malachi prophesied God's word about 100 years after Haggai and Zechariah. And since the rebuilding of the temple had happened so long ago, there were many who were not passionate about temple worship, and some even questioned if there was any value in serving God. Both the priest and the people were backslidden. So overall, Malachi lived in a day of moral decline. But no matter how long it had been, the priests had a role in the restoration process, which was to revive the people. They were to be the revivalists who were called forth to bring alive that which had lain dormant. The Lord had promised them a land and religious center in Jerusalem. And upon their return from captivity, the people were to honor God by putting him first. If they would have recalled to mind the great mercy that the Lord had shown them, put away the evil of their doings, and rededicated themselves to him, that would have been the start of a great revival. If they would have sanctified themselves to be the holy people that the Lord set them aside to be, temple worship would have been something to look forward to rather than a displeasure. In comparison to what the post-pandemic church is facing today, it seems that there is a lack of passion when it comes to worship that church leaders are witnessing on a large scale. It seems that some people became detached from God during the pandemic and no longer focusing on the greatness of God. For this reason, many have become careless in their thoughts and in essence have become like the returning remnant who started questioning if there is any value in serving God. This is the wrong frame of mind for a born-again believer to be in, especially when you consider who God is and all the great things that he has done, and the fact that he chose you and called you his own. Despite our imperfections and flaws in our character, the Lord looked beyond our faults and said, "You are mine." The kind of relationship that we are to have with God should not be predicated on what is happening in the world. The world may be under judgment and will not be able to withstand these catastrophic events, but come hell or high water, the children of God should not be moved. There's a whole lot of shaking going on in the earth, but nothing should be able to shake your relationship with God. The Apostle Paul made a strong declaration in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, saying, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" He said, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me read that again. He said, "For I am persuaded." Are you persuaded today that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? So ask yourself this question: who or what has separated you from the love of God? Who or what has caused you to lose your passion for worship? If your relationship with God is strong, then nothing should be able to break that bond. COVID-19 should not have caused you to regress. How did a disease bring people to a place of not seeing the value in serving God, but find it more appealing to backslide into a place of complacency? How did a disease compel you to abandon your post only to take a back seat and become idle? Yes, this world is undergoing some changes, and we are feeling the effects of everything that is going on around us. But it is not time to give up. This is not time to take a back seat. Quitting is not an option, but keep your eyes on the prize. Fight the good fight of faith and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah and amen. The rebuilding of the temple post-captivity was a major landmark, but as mentioned, many were not passionate about temple worship because it had happened so long ago. The modern day application and talking point here is how the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ is not remembered by some as a major landmark in the history of humanity because it happened so long ago. Some do not give it much thought or consideration that the agony that Jesus endured on Calvary Cross was instrumental in us being able to obtain eternal life, or the fact that he died in our place and took the blow for us. As it reads in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He was the lamb that was slain to buy our liberty, and he lifted men above angels into the family of God. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 and 10 reads, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Somebody wrote a song saying, Jesus, I'll never forget what you have done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. The crucifixion and resurrection of Christ may have happened long ago, but the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary will never lose its power. The sacrificial offering of the Lamb and the redemptive work of Christ can never be depreciated. The blood still works, y'all, and it is the only acceptable atonement for our sins. Jesus was sent forth by God to be the mercy seat, sprinkled with his own blood, where God and sinners are reconciled. He redeemed us from the slave market of sin and brought us out of captivity. And we can all testify that there was no way that we could have delivered ourselves. And when you consider all of these things, how can we as Christians lose our passion in serving God? When you reach a place where you feel spiritually depleted or fatigue. It is time for a revival. It is time for you to reach down in the recesses of your soul and revive your praise. Recall to your mind the many testimonies of deliverance and just start telling the Lord, thank you. Remember the promises of God and get stirred up in your spirit. When you think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, it will revive you again. Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll lift you right up. Amen. Out of the dumps. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Getting back to our lesson. The priests failed to revive the people, and it resulted in religious decline. They showed contempt for the ceremonial worship by offering polluted sacrifices upon the altar of God. So the Lord says to them in verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? They regarded the Lord as their father, but their actions proved otherwise. If God was their father, then why did they despise his name? Likewise, there are many people today that will declare God is my father, yet they live contrary to the will of God. So the same question can be asked. If God is your father, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? Or what part have he that believe with an infidel? The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? So if you say God is your father, but you are yielding your members to the devil, who are you serving really? When it comes to God, it is not about lip service, but your actions have to speak louder than words. Even some believers today became lax in their servitude towards God. But as Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? He said, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. People of God, it is revival time. And some of you have left your first love. But as the Lord said to the church which was at Ephesus, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. The Lord is willing to wipe the slate clean and give you a fresh start. Amen. In conclusion, Malachi chapter 1 gives a description of a profane and careless worshipers. The Lord gave them restoration, brought them from death unto life to serve and to honor him. But instead of giving God the very best, they gave him unacceptable sacrifices. So he asked, where is my honor? Where is my fear? And that is the same question that he can ask the people of God on today. In this unprecedented time, why are the saints drifting away? I have heard people criticize some of the things that are going on in churches and in church leadership, and their complaints are valid. But I've also seen those same people that point fingers at the church that are in no position to judge. They're quick to point out the flaws in church leaders when the life that they're living is no better. The scripture says, judge not, that ye be not judged. If you're living in a glass house, don't throw stones. The Lord is going to deal with his pastors and their offenses, but he is also going to deal with you and your offenses against him. Every man is accountable for their own transgressions and will have to answer to God for himself. So it comes right back to you. If you have drifted away from God, it is time for you to renew your passion. The Lord deserves the very best. And in view of this world, sometimes it is hard to tell the night from day. But keep your eyes on the prize. Jesus is still the light of the world. And so it's up to you to let his light to keep burning and shining in you. Amen. Amen. And amen. Renew your passion.